Listen to KMOX anytime, anywhere. Download the radio.com app today.
Mr. Trump has magic about him.
This is the greatest country in the world, but we do have some really stupid people.
How can I describe our leaders better than the word stupid?
This guy has magic coming out his ears.
This is the most unethical sham.
So in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
Now, Mark Reardon.
I've never known a guy more talented at untangling politics so that anyone can understand.
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
It is the Mark Reardon Show. I'm Bo Matthews, and that is Trish Gazelle. Otherwise, you can call me John, actually. And I'll tell you why.
Okay, please do, because I'm totally confused.
This past weekend, my wife went on a retreat, a women's retreat. And so I go to the church to pick her up, and they have a luncheon, and everybody's calling me John. And I'm like, okay, I'll just go with John. And so,
it's like, what kind of retreat is this, and what has my wife been saying?
Right. No, but you know what? It was all fantastic for her, and it was just one of the funny things that came out of that
experience. Why were they calling you John, though?
No clue. Oh. No clue. Everybody from the priest to all the people that... Hey, John. Okay, I'll take that. Just don't call me late for dinner, as my mom used to say.
That's odd.
I know, right?
But they're probably going, what's that guy's name? And somebody said John, and people kept asking.
It was great. Anyway, here on a Friday afternoon, and it's a beautiful, breezy day as we're getting into the weekend. If you notice that flags are flying at half staff, of course, that's in honor of Democratic Congressman from Baltimore, Elijah Cummings. And I just noticed flags around St. Louis and wanted to point that out. But it's been a long week in the news, and so much is going on. It baffles you.
And it's Friday, so you know what that means. And maybe a couple of hours more news, because it usually happens like a Friday news dump.
It launches like that, yeah. But we really wanted to catch up on the headlines of the big stories of the week, including Vice President Pence announcing a temporary ceasefire in the Turkey-Syria conflict.
A week after Turkish forces crossed into Syria, Turkey and the United States of America have agreed to a ceasefire in Syria. It will be a pause in military operations for 120 hours while the United States facilitates the withdrawal of YPG from the affected areas in the safe zone. And once that is completed, Turkey has agreed to a permanent ceasefire. And the United States of America will work with Turkey, will work with nations around the world to ensure that peace and stability is the order of the day in this safe zone on the border between Syria and Turkey.
So I wake up in the middle of the night and I turn on the news like I often do, and I see that it's daylight over in that region of the world, and they're still bombing. It doesn't feel like a ceasefire, for crying out loud. And ironically, they're fighting over property or a border, which they're fighting that over in the Middle East, and we're having our issues with our southern border. It's a little interesting, but it was ironic. They were using the word ceasefire on the news, and yet there were still video footage. So it's a little wonky to me.
Well, the whole thing is a little wonky, and even drew criticism from Mitt Romney yesterday. So even their own side finding this a little hard to swallow.
Yeah, if you remember the riots in Ferguson, I remember President Obama was on a split screen, and he's saying, it's calming down in the Ferguson area, and then on the right side of the screen, there were fires, there was still all that going on. So it just was reminiscent of that. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, she walked out of a White House meeting with President Trump and saying he had lost it. And there's a photo that's going around of that meeting, and it shows Nancy Pelosi standing across from the president and pointing her finger at him when I guess that was not really accurate. She was basically just getting up.
Yeah, I think I was excusing myself from the room. but at that moment, I was probably saying all roads lead to Putin. I think it would be interesting, you tell me, if we could have a recording of what goes on in those offices, because they come out and say, oh, this happened and that happened. You're like, we must have been at two different meetings.
And there was a famous calling from Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi where they were like, we don't want the press in this meeting we're having. So
So he tweets the photo out and says it's her meltdown.
Yeah.
And she makes the photo the cover page of her
Twitter account. Exactly. Okay, more to it. Yeah, this is our government. White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney, in a rare news conference yesterday, appeared to contradict the president on that phone call with Ukraine's president, saying it was, in essence, quid pro quo.
This described is a quid pro quo. It is funding will not flow unless the investigation into the Democratic server happened as well.
We do that all the time with foreign policy. We were holding up money at the same time for, what was it, the Northern Triangle countries. We were holding up aid at the Northern Triangle countries so that they would change their policies on immigration. Well, McKinney said yesterday that he was really upset with the political influence in foreign policy. That was one of the reasons he was so upset about this. And I have news for everybody. Get over it. There's going to be political influence in foreign policy.
You don't pay a contractor till the work's done, is the way I looked at it. But
get over it.
I know, right?
But then releases a statement and says that he didn't say it was a quid pro quo.
Right.
Although we just all heard that he did say that, right? Or is it just me?
I don't know. I don't know. How can you keep track of this game? It's a shell game. By the way, if you'd like to call in and make your comments known, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. It's Bo Matthews, Trish Gazelle, in for the Mark Reardon Show. I do want to add Mulvaney also this week announced the President's Resort in Florida at Doral Resort. Isn't Doral a brand of cigarettes? I didn't know.
I believe it is.
Yeah, isn't it? It's in Florida, the Miami area, are going to host the next G7 summit in 2020. And, of course, everybody went crazy with that. We've got this.
Okay, a couple different things. First off, you're not making any profit. I think we've already established that. I think some... It's a huge. I've heard that before. I guess I've been the chief now for about 9 or 10 months, and I always hear it whenever we go to Mar-a-Lago. It's a huge branding opportunity. Whenever he plays, at Trump Mar-a-Lago, we play golf at Trump Bedminster. He goes to play golf at Trump up in Sterling, and everybody asks the question, is it not a huge marketing opportunity? I would simply ask you all to consider the possibility that Donald Trump's brand is probably strong enough as it is, and he doesn't need any more help on that. This is not like it's the most recognizable name in the English language, and probably around the world right now. So no, that has nothing to do with it. That's why I was skeptical. I was aware of the political sort of criticism that we'd come under for doing it at Doral, which is why I was so surprised when the advance team called back and said that this was the perfect physical location to do this. So I get the criticisms. So does he. Face it, he'd be criticized regardless of what he chose to do. But no, there's no issue here on him profiting from this in any way, shape, or form. What's the difference between this and what we're talking about, the Bidens? First of all, there's no profit here. Clearly, there's profit to the Bidens. And second of all, I think if there's one difference that you look at between the Trump family and the Biden family, Trump family made their money before they went into politics. That's a big difference.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem with it.
You don't?
I don't have a problem with it. I think that it gives a view to the world leaders of, hey, this is what this guy has done. He's not trying to feed them Trump steaks that we know of or Trump water. Do you have a problem with it?
I just think
it's a conflict.
If it was the reverse, and if Hillary Clinton, let's say, or Obama had a international conference of world leaders at one of their businesses, Republicans' heads would be exploding.
But it's always going to explode, isn't it? You have to think opposite world when you hear a headline like
here's
that.
Here's what I would just like to say to all of this, and for anyone who voted for the president and who will vote for the president again, it's cool to say that you don't like something he's doing. That doesn't mean you don't support him.
True. There are so many people. They may have voted, like you said. But they're like, but I don't like the way he does things.
It's okay to say you don't like something. It doesn't mean that you don't support him or won't support him again. I just think, let's all use logic and say if the shoe was on the other foot, what would we be saying?
I think my first thought was, of course, Hollywood movie action film about, okay, they're going to wire every room with microphones and video of all these world leaders are going to be staying in the resort, but that's not going to happen. All these world leaders have their own security teams to take care of, making sure bugs aren't in a room kind of thing. I'm not talking about bed bugs either.
Well, that's actually trending on Twitter. bed bugs? Because there was a report of bed bugs at
this
that
resort.
Location.
Oh, no.
So his haters are obviously putting that out.
Okay. On a lighter note, and you know, just like you said, people are like, okay, I support the president, but I don't like certain things that he does. And I'm a Trump supporter, but I really didn't like how he went after General Mattis. Just personally, because I'm a military brat, and it's like, oh, disrespectful. But that's him. Do what you want. You do you, I'll do me, right? Well, General James Mad Dog Mattis had his chance last night to laugh off the president's insults, and here it is.
I'm not just an overrated general. I am the greatest, the world's most overrated. I'm honored to be considered that by Donald Trump because he also called Meryl Streep an overrated actress. So I guess I'm the Meryl Streep of generals. I'd earned my spurs on the battlefield, Martin, as you pointed out, and Donald Trump earned his spurs in a letter from a doctor. So.
Oh, zing! Well, it's Bo Matthews and Trish Gazelle, otherwise I'm known as John, on the Mark Reardon Show on St. Louis's News Radio KMOX. Big news in the fight against breast cancer. We're going to tell you about that coming up next on KMOX. It is the Mark Reardon Show. I'm Bo Matthews with Trish Gazelle. Takes two to cover that man. And hope he's enjoying his Friday off. And we're enjoying our Friday on. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast at KMOX.com/Reardon. And I really want to get the phone numbers out there. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Because this one strikes the chord with a lot of people. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And just a couple of days ago, I saw this story, actually 2 days ago, and it gave me hope because I lost my mom to breast cancer in 86. I was 18. She was 40. 40, mm-hmm. And she was gone. And
how long, I guess, did she have it? Did she battle it?
A couple of years. Of course, she went through
did
the
Did she catch it early?
No, she didn't. Matter of fact, she was scared. She didn't want to go and do mammogram. And so I know she went in late, and she knew she went in late. But on the final days of her treatment or their fight, the doctors came to her at the Mayo Clinic. I grew up in Rochester, Minnesota, where the Mayo Clinic is. And it was so convenient. She's right here in town. We could do some experimental things on you, is what they told her. And she said, if it's going to help women in the future, I'll do it.
Oh, that's great.
And she did. And so when I saw this story, giving me chills even thinking about it, there has been huge inroads in the fight against breast cancer. Again, it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Please get a mammogram. Early detection is the key. But this lady in Florida feels like she's walked on the moon.
This is Lee Merker, the first woman whose body fought off cancer with one of the latest vaccines in clinical trials at Mayo Clinic.
Sounds like it's the wave of the future.
Merker only found out she had breast cancer in March.
A DCIS stage 0. I'd never heard of it.
It meant she had a very early stage where the cancer cells in the ducts of her breasts had not yet spread.
I'm an exercise fanatic. I eat right, but it just can knock on anybody's door.
So that left her with three options. The traditional route of having surgery to remove the cancer cells, surgery to remove her breasts, or she could join a clinical trial for a vaccine that could prevent the cancer cells from coming back.
I signed on the dotted line that day.
Dr. Saranya Chumsri says the vaccine helps the body find cancer cells.
It's supposed to stimulate patients' own immune response so that their immune cells, like T cells, would go in and attack the cancer.
And for Merker, it worked. She says it was just about a 12-week process.
They always took your blood. You had a physical. They would make your shot right there on the spot for you. Three shots, all in a row, alternating arms, four shots, 2 weeks apart.
As part of the trial, Merker still did have to have a mastectomy done.
Because that is the only way that we know for sure that everything was removed properly.
But Dr. Chumsri says that helps researchers study the removed breast tissue and assess how well the vaccine works, eventually using it to prevent cancer entirely.
It's supposed to be just all off of the shelf, kind of similar to when you go get the flu shot or pneumonia shot.
There was a lot of information in that audio clip. And again, I want to remind you, you can listen to the podcast at KMOX.com/Reardon and share that with anybody you know. But it wasn't my first time hearing about T-cell therapy. My neighbor's grandson, little Jax, has been fighting and fighting for so long. And I first learned of the T cell therapy, I guess, about a year ago. And it's very expensive, of course.
Through them.
Mm-hmm. And he has been doing the T cell therapy, and it's working. And Jax is a champ, and he's playing sports again and swimming. And it's just a wonderful story. But breast cancer, again, early detection is the key. A couple of corny little stories about my mom. She was a boss. She was a business, a single mom business owner in 1976.
Wow.
So she was, you know, ahead of her time anyway. But I remember I went to visit her at the hospital, and her stomach had swelled up a lot from the therapy, you know, towards the end. And I remember we were going to go for a walk out to the outdoor park area of the hospital. And she was all swollen up, and somebody said, "Oh, when are you due?" And she goes, "Oh, any day." And she patted her belly, and it was just a beautiful moment. The other story that comes to mind when I think of my mom, she had a one side mastectomy. I don't know, I forget what they call it. A lateral bilateral. No, not
I'm
bad.
Not sure.
Okay. But she had one breast removed. Well, she was going to the bra shop to get a prosthetic bra to help, you know, fill that up. And so she's in there forever, and I'm waiting in the car, and I'm 17 years old, and I'm, you know, got to drive her car down there. And she's in there forever. She finally jumps in the car, jumps in the passenger seat, and leans over and goes, "Feel that." And I was like, "Ah, get away from me." Ugh.
She sounds like a character.
Oh, she is, and it's amazing. But this, could you imagine, Trish? You find out, you know, you or somebody you know gets breast cancer, it's a vaccine?
Yeah, and they're even saying in this vaccine, even people diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer are seeing positive results from this.
It's just amazing. Again, a lot of people won't go and have that early detection because fear. There's that fear is, you know, I don't want to go.
Well, and, you know, it is a nuisance. It's not a fun thing to go do, but you have to do it.
Never you know, done it, so I have no idea.
Have to do it. Well, I understand why you have it.
I hear it's painful.
No, it shouldn't be painful if they do it the right way. It's just a little uncomfortable.
Right.
But, yes, get it done. Early detection is key, as they all say.
Yeah, and if you don't have the funds for it, that's what the Komen organization is about. Susan G. Komen, there's many hospitals. Siteman is doing all. There's so many organizations that are helping you with that mammogram so you can get it free or low cost. So, again, very important, but this story, I think, is the tip of the spear in the fight against breast cancer because it's such a horrible, horrible disease, and it can happen so young. It can happen to elderly people. It's just you hear the C word and you feel like it's game over, but now they're making huge, huge inroads, certainly from the Mayo Clinic and this T-cell therapy. Again, if you want to share this information, do not forget, this is going to be a podcast, and you'll be able to find it to be able to share at KMOX.com/Reardon. I'm Bo Matthews, Trish Gazelle, and we've got more coming up, including the world's longest flight. It's happening today. We'll tell you about it coming up on St. Louis News Radio KMOX. It is the Mark Reardon Show. Happy Friday. It's Bo Matthews and Trish Gazelle covering for Mark while he enjoys a Friday free to do whatever he wants to. If you'd like to call in, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. And if you miss any part of the show, especially the breast cancer information we just shared, please download the podcast when it's available at KMOX.com/Reardon. Also, you can listen live by downloading to your gadget the radio.com app. That's how I like to listen to it. Big news, if you love to fly internationally, Qantas Airlines is flying the world's longest nonstop flight, 20
Ooh.
Straight hours.
No.
Now, I'm all about the nonstop flights. I will.
I'd rather fly nonstop than have a layover, but I don't know about 20 hours.
20 hours. My wife and I went to San Francisco. And there was one, I think it was a United flight, one nonstop flight to San Francisco, and we did it to go see the big the redwoods and the whales. There was only one flight a day out of Lambert, and we found it and we got it, and it was fantastic. But I hate connecting flights. Go to the Caribbean, you got to connect to Miami. Well, this 20-hour straight flight is from New York to Sydney, Australia. And on the flight, they're going to be guinea pigs. The passengers and the crew are, because they're going to see if bright lights and hot peppers are going to help jet lag, and they'll be tracked to see how they withstand the marathon journey. After an hour and a half on a plane, my legs are twitching. I'm always the guy going to the restroom. And it's not to go to the bathroom, it's to go for the walk.
Yeah, I'm good for like two. 2 hours, and then I start getting antsy.
You know, it's better now that you can download shows and stuff on a gadget.
Oh my gosh, that's a lifesaver. And they show movies on most of them now if you're on a really long flight.
Oh, yeah. I guess I'm not flying the fancy airlines.
I went to Australia for the Olympics in 2000. Wow. But we went St. Louis to L.A., L.A. to Hawaii, and then Hawaii to Australia.
Did you spend any time in Hawaii or just in the airport?
No, it was just a stopover. But on the way home, we went Australia to Hawaii to Vancouver.
Whoa.
To St. Louis. So at that point, we had crossed the time zone so many times. Like, we were going back and forth on a day.
It's Monday. It's Tuesday. Right. It's Tuesday. It's Monday.
It was really weird.
Wow. And is the food better on a long flight like that?
Honestly, that was
really
19 years ago. I have no idea.
Were you first class?
No. So the reason I went is for the Olympics. I was in radio, but Coca-Cola picked a radio station out of each market and sent them to the Olympics to broadcast live on behalf of Coca-Cola.
How great is that?
So I was only there like 3 or 4 days, too. So you take that long flight and you're only there 3 or 4 days. It was an awesome experience and a good time to be in radio. But
of course. Of course, you get picked to do something like that.
Yeah, you weren't there very long to get your bearings. I just remember it being really clean. Everyone was really nice. And
everybody spoke with that cool accent.
Everyone was so nice. They had poker machines in all the bars, which was before they had them here. You know, yeah. So I like that, of course.
Well, the flight, though, you don't remember anything specific about the flight?
I mean, it was long.
Well before.
I think Tylenol PM was my friend on
that. Yeah, right. But definitely before even movies probably in planes, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, certainly before iPads and.
For sure.
It changes the experience. Now, last time I flew, I think I got into the show Peaky Blinders. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my wife has no desire to watch that. So I'm like, okay, I'll just watch it on this. Well, here's the cool thing. We have CBS News Senior Travel Advisor Peter Greenberg to talk about this historic 20-hour straight flight from New York to Sydney. Are you on the plane now, sir?
I'm smart enough not to be. although there'll be about three of these testing flights. It's in the air now, and what it is a brand-new Boeing 787-900 Dreamliner that was just built in the state of Washington. They flew its first flight, delivery flight, to New York, and now it's on its first long-haul flight, which left this morning, going all the way to Sydney. It's a 20-plus-hour flight, only 40 passengers, and on board will be scientists, behavioral folks, engineers, a number of different flight crews, a few little media people who were smart enough to get on board if they really wanted to take that endurance test.
Not Peter.
They're going to be testing, not me, but they're going to be testing all sorts of things. It's not just what people do at altitude. It's even how you digest your food, even if you can taste your food at that altitude. What happens to your body when you exceed an 18-hour flight? And the reason why I mention 18 hours is because the current long-haul record holder is happening right now. It's a Singapore Airlines flight from Singapore to New York. It's at about 18 hours plus, and your listeners will be happy to know that the one lesson they've already applied that they've learned about that flight is there is no coach section. Nobody can endure that. So it's a premium coach and a business class configuration, and that's quite frankly the longest flight. What Qantas is trying to do is to see if they can actually make it profitable and endurable for a 20-plus hour flight nonstop from New York to Sydney, and on their other route, nonstop from Sydney to London.
So, Peter, it's a 787 Dreamliner. So is this the plane that I've seen pictures only of with the seats that lay back into a bed?
No. Every airline configures their plane differently. If you've seen the Qatar Airways plane with their Q-suite, that ain't bad. Singapore Airlines has one, which is a huge bed. This will probably be an enhanced business class seat that will also be a bed. I mean, in 19 hours, you better get some sleep.
So it will lay down, though, right?
Oh, absolutely. These are lie flat beds, not flat lies.
So tell me about the hot peppers and what that has to do with it. Are they ingesting hot peppers to see if this has an effect on them?
No, what it is something at altitude happens to your taste buds, your sense of taste, your sense of smell, and how you digest your food, how your body processes it. So they're testing different food items to see exactly what effects it will have. Because remember, it's not just hydration, which you have to do, drink as much water as you can, and drink as little alcohol as you can. It's also what they're going to serve you on board, because for 20 hours, they also have to make sure that the food isn't reheated three different times. Otherwise, why would you eat it anyway?
Right, right. So when this story says the humans are guinea pigs, they truly are. This is almost like testing for International Space Station stuff, because you're up in the air for so long.
It is. I mean, and the whole idea is, can they, with their fuel burn, remember, it's all about weight as well, can they actually economically fly this plane with a full load of passengers over that long distance and not only make money, but make sure that people are not taking hostages by the time they land?
Did they mention, like, on average, how much a ticket would be for something like that?
No, they haven't priced it, but you know what? It won't be appreciably more than their current flight, which goes from New York and stops in Los Angeles on the way to Sydney, or which goes from Sydney and stops in Perth on the way to London, because people are they're going the same distance, they're just stopping.
Maybe Coca-Cola will pay for our trip if we get to ever do it. I'm not a big fan of the long haul trips. You know, hour and a half, 2 hours, and I got to get up and walk around a little bit. Is there more room?
But you know something. You should be getting up and walking around a little bit, no matter how long the flight is. You need to do that just to maintain your circulation and not get afflicted with deep vein thrombosis. But for me, I'm a mega million miler. I'd much rather get that flight done in one 20-hour stint than have to stop anywhere. And the reason for that is, and this applies to whether you're going to St. Louis, to Wyoming, or Alaska, anytime your flight stops en route, you're exponentially increasing your opportunity for a delay, a cancellation, or weather.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm concerned, I'll take the brunt of it in one 20-hour stint.
I like that, as long as it gets off the ground in time. That's fantastic. Here's the irony, is I just saw the old airplane Concorde version. The movie. Remember the old airplane movies?
Oh yeah,
sure.
Well, they had one about the Concorde. I didn't realize. And
that's right.
Before they ended flying the Concorde, I just always wanted to do that. Because what do you know offhand, Peter? How long the flight that was from here to like Europe?
Yeah, it was a regular flight that everybody else took. The Concorde was never going to set a record for a long distance. It really was 14 separate fuel tanks that flew you at supersonic speed between London and New York, or between Paris and New York. And remember, they were not allowed to fly supersonically over land because of the sonic boom. So they were limited in where they could go.
Do you remember how long that flight was? Was it like 7 hours?
No, it was 2.5 to 3 hours. That was it. Mm. So you left London at 9:30 in the morning, and you landed at JFK at 8:30 the same morning.
Wow.
I love that. I do love the flight technology. I really, really do. But, man.
Me too.
I just don't do it well enough. Well, CBS.
Although I will tell you this, they're thinking of bringing the supersonic transport back, because their engineers are working on a way to mitigate that sonic boom, so it's within range. And you're going to start seeing in the next 2 to 3 years some test flights. The supersonic flights may be coming back.
Then I might make it to Europe. CBS News senior travel advisor Peter Greenberg, thank you for joining us on KMOX.
Anytime.
All right. This is the Mark Reardon Show. Bo Matthews and Trish Gazelle holding down the fort. If you'd like to call in about your experience on long flights, we'd love to hear from you. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. It's the Mark Reardon Show. Happy Friday. This is St. Louis News Radio KMOX. I'm Bo Matthews, and that's Trish Gazelle. And shout out to a fellow broadcaster, Fox 2's John Brown, who I've been a fan of for years. Years ago, I actually had him on my radio show, and he proposed to his wife.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I worked with him for a while. I love John Brown.
I'll be honest with
you. He's on like every hour of the day, I think, at Fox 2.
He does an amazing job.
He does.
Handsome guy, knows what he's doing. He's trustworthy. He's a great father. And every time, you know, you see a major news personality, you know, on the national scale, you know, or done with their career, it's like, hey, John, has New York called you yet?
Yeah, he's great.
He could do it. I know he could. John, we love you.
Love you,
just
John.
Wanted to give you a shout out. So if you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast at KMOX.com/Reardon. You can also listen live by downloading the radio.com app and take us everywhere you go. That's how I usually listen to it on my device. But newly released reports show that fewer than half of Missouri school children are performing at grade level in English and math. This was a story out of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. They report that the Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education released the test score data from 2019. It showed that 49% of students in the state's public and charter schools are proficient or advanced in English and 42% in math. So less than half on both.
Yeah, that's not very good.
But I don't have my math skills. I have a phone that does all that. So you got to almost feel for the kids. I know it's important that they learn algebra. They learn these things. That's why I have my wife. She's a math genius. But I get it.
You're never using it again, kids. So
and you know, I was horrible in English. Well, yeah, because you say, well, back in the day, it was I got this calculator. It's going to do it for me. Well, now it goes a lot faster.
Texas Instruments.
Wow.
Remember that calculator?
No, I don't remember that. I remember Edison with a light bulb. That knob. So it's important, obviously, to understand the basics of those things. And I, being in radio, I was horrible at English. If I say something grammatically incorrect, sorry about it, but I don't
know
what to tell you.
Yeah. Ain't fixing it.
See? All those are grammatically incorrect. I had a listener call me and berate me. She was a school teacher, and she said, when you say drive carefully, that drives me crazy.
What is this supposed to be?
Drive careful. Not carefully. Two verbs, mm-hmm. I think. I don't even know what verbs and nouns are. I don't know. But anyway, so that's I'm just being honest with you. Anyway.
I have no idea what verbs or nouns are. You need to save that soundbite so we can play that for Bo's intro every time he's on.
I don't think I'll be on again after I'm kidding, of course. But this was the second year students took a more difficult test that caused steep drops between 2017 and 2018. According to this report, the worst performing, well, I'm not even going to say the worst performing. The state didn't release scores that determine the level of accreditation for a district. It's just part of this report that comes out. But this leads into something that Fred Bottomer, he was really sketchy when he handed me this story about right now about the Oxford English Dictionary is adding words into. I guess he gave you the whole list, but he only gave me one.
Right. Which one did he give you?
Maybe you haven't seen this one. Oh, he added a verb, which of course I know what a verb is. It's the definition of the word clat fart.
Ugh.
That's one word. C-L-A-T-F-A-R-T. The noun we all love, we don't love that. I don't love that. I don't even know why it's a word.
It's a horrible word.
It means gossip. I have what's wrong with gossip? Why can't we just use that word?
That is a horrible word.
I thought his list was going to include like swole or woke, because that's the, you know, what all the cool kids are saying.
Or chillax. That's one of the words.
Oh,
added.
That's been in there for a long time though, right?
They added it into the dictionary. People have been saying it a while, but it's actually in the Oxford English Dictionary now.
Just this year?
Yep.
What? Chillax? That's
chillax
been around forever.
Means calm down or relax. Or you know what a promposal is?
Yes, I do. And they make it really big and elaborate. The kids do this big thing, right?
An invitation to the prom where it was just a note passed in school before. Yeah, now it's a big production.
So promposal is now entered.
Yep.
Into the Oxford English Dictionary. Good.
Fake news.
Okay, well, that pretty much is self-explanatory.
Do you know what nomophobia is or nomophobia?
Is it N-O-M-O?
Yeah.
Nomophobia, meaning, no, I don't.
It's anxiety about not having access to a mobile phone.
Oh, no mobile. It's short for no mobile. Wow.
Or NAMO. NOMO.
Fear of missing out. That's FOMO, right? This is NOMO. Yeah, I guess I could relate to that.
Are you a Star Wars nerd?
No, I'm not. I mean,
I'm sure you've heard some of these Jedi mind trick.
Yeah, that's going in now?
Yep. Lightsaber, Jedi, and Force, and Padawan. I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is either.
It's a Star Wars thing.
Okay.
Also, whatevs. Like, whatevs.
Oh my God, that's 20 years old. Right? Valley Girl started with that, whatevs.
I think it was whatever. Whatever.
I know, right. Oh,
and they had shortened whatevs.
Oh, yeah. Everything's shortened now. Yeah, you're right.
A big one with my niece is same. Like, if you say something I agree with, same. That's all you
same.
Say.
Same.
Same.
Okay. So is swole in there? Swole or woke?
Possibly.
Not yet.
It's a very long list.
Well, those phrases have been around for a couple of years. You know, I will tell you this. Do you watch the show This Is Us?
I do, but I'm a little behind, so don't. Well,
no,
spoil
but
anything.
But when that's a show that goes flashback, flash forward, all these different things, and I caught them. I caught them in one of the episodes recently where they said they were going to binge watch TV, and they were the young kids at the time.
Oh.
I'm like, no. They had that stash on, you know, the guys in the 70s, but they didn't have binge watch.
Is your wife a fan of that show? Because that's a pretty girly show where you cry every episode.
I don't cry. We don't cry every episode. No. We cry on 90 Day Fiancé. No, I'm kidding. Right. That was a little flashback from yesterday. We watched that, but that's the one I caught a couple of things.
I'll tell you a really good show that just
started.
Are
we going on to Brain Candy TV again?
I just got to tell you one more show. This is not a trashy show. It's a good show.
The Masked Singer.
By the people who made awesome. The Good Wife and The
Never
Good Fight.
It.
It's called Evil. It is so good.
Okay, now I will tell
you.
It's
so good.
I saw the trailer for it. I set it to record. I think I have 3 or 4 episodes are already up. My DVR is holding on to it.
You need to watch that.
Really?
Okay. It is excellent.
Okay. This Is Us. Busted Them. Masked Singer. You told me on the phone the other night that you had to watch The Voice.
Uh-huh.
You have your list that you have to watch.
Yeah.
And that was one of them.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen The Masked Singer?
Yes.
How great is that?
Yeah, that's good.
I loved that show. And this is the second season. They're doing a great job. Muhammad Ali's daughter was just revealed in the episode that I watched. I'm still a couple behind.
Oh, you're a couple behind. Yeah. I'll tell you then.
But even in the first season, Terry Bradshaw, wasn't he amazing? Loving it. Anyway, any more words for your Oxford Dictionary?
No, that about does it.
Put swole in there. Put woke in there.
It could be. I don't have the entire list.
Otherwise, I'm going to be with my friends this weekend clat farting about you.
Ew, that is so gross.
Sorry.
No, gross.
It's a real word. It's
I
not
know.
Me.
It means gossip, but it does not sound good.
For the record, it does
it
mean
sounds
something.
Sounds bad. It sounds like something you should never say again.
Okay, I promise you from this point on, I will never say it again.
Please.
This is Bo and Trish in for Mark Reardon Show on KMOX.